ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages, and welcome to another episode of Discheads, an amateur disc golf podcast here on YouTube and on Podbean. This is episode 14. Tips, tricks, and obstacles. Oh, we've got an exciting episode for you guys. Personal bests, more discs, loads of fun stuff, but I'm going to get Dan to do all that in a second. I'm one of your co-hosts, Lee, and across the desk from me is my good friend Ben. How you doing, Ben?
Hola.
Hola. Another one of the co-hosts. And then the man, the myth, the legend behind this podcast, Dan. How you doing, Dan?
Yeah, I'm good. Cheers, Lee. Yourself?
I am good. I'm excited to talk this week about disc golf. I feel like it's kind of in our blood a lot these days. Like we'd even say. It's just, what were you going to say?
That's definitely your catchphrase.
It is, ain't it? Disc golf, it's in my blood.
Yeah, I'm good, Lee. Yourself? That's the same intro on every episode.
I'm good, yourself?
Yeah, I just want to show that someone cares about Lee.
Oh, thank you.
No, I'm just saying.
No!
Should be on a t-shirt.
That should be. Our first run of t-shirts. That should
I'm
be
good, Lee. Yourself?
So what we got coming up on this episode then, Dan?
I don't know. we got beginner tip this good week, like normal. We're going to be talking a bit about range. We're going to mention Achilles tournament, talk a bit about our experience there. We're going to talk about unusual obstacles, and we're going to talk about the highlight of the season.
Yeah. Sweet.
I'm also tired and struggling to read, so it could be a fun one.
It could be. I'm excited.
But firstly, there's always a firstly.
Yes.
They're campaigning at the moment for disc golf to be part of the Olympics.
Oh, really?
And they're aiming for 2032.
2032?
Which sounds like a long way away, but if I'm thinking about it right, it's 2003 now, so the next Games is next year, so that's four, so then eight.
Three Olympics time.
Well, we're out.
Well, we'll be young. We'll be old.
We'll be out.
They might have an MA50 divisions, though.
Not in the Olympics.
But this has all come about because in Chengdu, I don't know where Chengdu is. But
okay.
In
China.
Yeah, probably. In Chengdu, in 2025, so only 2 years away, the World Games is going to see disc golf return, and the event's going to comprise of 16 nations competing in mixed pairs competition.
Mixed pairs sounds really interesting. I really like that.
What, 16 nations?
Yeah, I have no idea.
Because I reckon I'm not that good, but I reckon I'm probably better than someone from, like, I don't know, who's never played disc golf.
They're literally now, countries are campaigning to get good at discus.
If I could, like, somehow be Iranian, maybe I could play disc golf for Iran.
Yeah.
Just saying.
And just pick a country and try and represent them.
Probably better than, yeah.
I'll go Madagascar. Let's go with them.
Well, who's going to be like Antarctica?
Like, yeah, low key, they'd be might be pretty bad. There's not a lot of life in Antarctica,
playing?
Isn't there?
Like, maybe you never know. They might be like, this is the same as tossing fishes.
Yeah, that's true.
But the wind.
But the wind. It could be
never get a game a disc golf in Antarctica because you'd be like, it's gone. Nah.
I'm laughing way too much. My microphone fell down, mate. Honestly, if that's exciting though, if it's going to be in the Olympics and then the World Games, it's exciting. That's some really good exposure for a sport which I think deserves more exposure because it really is just for everyone.
We spoke about it very early on, episode 2 or 3, about just how quickly disc golf picked up over the pandemic.
Yeah,
how that's continued to grow and grow and grow. And you only took them 4 or 5 years ago, where PDGA, you only had like 1,000 members, and now they're sitting on like.
That's true.
Pandemic, a lot.
Yeah.
A lot.
Like COVID, it's even though it sounds horrible, like COVID was horrible for a lot of people, but it was really good for disc golf and its exposure. Like, obviously, we could only do certain activities, and it had a COVID boom. Like, how many tournaments have we gone to where people have been like, COVID. Oh, yeah, I picked it up during COVID? Like, there's so many people who picked it up during COVID.
Yeah.
So.
100%.
Yeah. I'm excited. World Olympics, that'd be interesting. What will their outfits be?
I kind of wish COVID had come back so I could just sit and do some practice. Just like,
what did you go around today? Oh, I just was in a park all day as my daily exercise, working on my putts and my approach game. What did you play? I just played on my PlayStation
all day.
Oh, yeah. Olympics, that's interesting.
Also, I don't know if I actually put the message in the chat mm-hmm. and no one responded, or if I didn't put the message in the chat.
Okay.
Or I was listening to a podcast the other day.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Bert Kreischer.
Yes.
Yeah. Talking about disc golf.
Awesome.
He's a big fan.
Is he?
He's a forehand player.
Is he?
Sweet.
I like Bert. Bert's hilarious. That he's him and I forget his name.
Yeah.
This is relevant. Is so funny.
He says he likes to throw forehand more because of baseball.
Yeah.
So I've recently found a baseball.
Nice.
I'm going to try and see if that makes me understand
the mechanics behind a forehand.
Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly it is. It is like,
because I understand.
Yeah, I fully get that. I'll pitch it like I'm throwing a baseball.
Well, yeah. That's what I'm going to try and figure out.
If you watch, like how people throw, like, as they call it in baseball, like a pitch, I think it's a slider, how they do a slider pitch.
Yeah, yeah.
It's exactly like a forehand throw for disc golf.
That's what I thought. That's what, when I was with the ball, I was like, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. So we're going to find out now you're going to have like a killer forehand in a couple of weeks.
So hopefully, a couple of weeks' time, you're delivering beginner tip and it's buy a baseball.
Yeah, maybe. Might not be.
Buy a baseball and throw it really hard at a wall so it comes back so it doesn't have to like...
I did, the first time I got it, I did play the Great Escape thing.
Yeah, nice. Yeah. Love it. Oh, that's amazing.
So range.
Yes.
And when I put this in the chat earlier, you said to me like you didn't understand what I meant by
yeah.
Not
there's
so,
the chat. Yeah.
Oh.
That was set at prime finishing work time.
So. Prime finishing work time.
Yeah.
but yeah, so is range important? So when you're doing that starting drive, and let's think like hole five at Bedworth. It's a nice, big, open.
Yeah.
There's not much to hit. Well, let's take it a step further. Hole 15.
Yeah.
Right. So hole 15 is off a hill.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing to hit. There is an out of bounds to the left, but some of us have made the out of bounds, but you have to throw a dodgy shot.
A dodgy throw, and the wind just likes to pick it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is a big drive important then?
Hmm.
I'm not saying beneficial. Obviously, a big drive is beneficial.
I say yes.
Is it important?
I would say yes and no, but Ben, you go first.
A big drive is never important.
Mm.
However, you need to be able to cover the range.
Yeah.
Because if you don't do a big drive and you can't cover the range in shot two, you're never going to be on par.
No.
So sometimes my drives don't cover the range. But my
mid-range,
my second shot gets me where I need to be.
I agree with that.
That keeps me in the running with you guys who can.
Yeah, because I feel like it's like normal golf. You can have a mega drive, but other shots can let you down. Like putting can let you down. Yeah. Approach shots can let you down.
And this is what made me think
of it. But it's all well and good being the best putter in the world. But if you haven't got the range, whether
to get
shot one or shot two, it doesn't matter.
Fair. Yeah.
So this is what made me think about it. So Sunday just gone, I could not get my approach game in. And it didn't matter if I was driving well. When it came to getting near that basket, I was just off every single time.
Yeah.
So that made me sit there and think, well, is my drive important? Would it have been more beneficial for me to actually play the safer route? So that the approach was just a straight shot. I didn't have to bend around anything. I didn't have to think about power or accuracy. I could have just laid up.
And this is why I'm arguing what I'm arguing, because my second shot, my next shot after the drive was always my most important shot. Was my better shots in both rounds that we played, even that one we played alongside each other.
Yeah. The Devils, yeah. I feel like, honestly, I think driving is something you can improve on over time. Like, I think for all of us...
I think mine's got worse.
Well, that's the thing. I think with a drive...
Mine's definitely got better.
I think mine's actually got worse.
I think it's technique more than power. I think bringing up 100%. Robbie, bringing up Robbie C again. Shout out to Robbie C if he ever listens to these podcasts.
That's
my catchphrase. Big fanboy of Robbie C. Like Robbie C. He says it doesn't matter if you can throw like absolute bombs. If you have technique down, you can throw the same distance with every putt. So for him, he has a Halo, he has the Innova, he has the Polecat. That's one of his go-to things. And he can throw that as far as his driver, and it's way more controlled and it's more accurate, he says. But when you want to throw your driver, why on earth is everyone thinking, as a driver, I've got to put way more welly into it and whatever. And that's where it goes all balls and goes completely wrong. But if you do technique, it should be fine.
The cheater, when you were like, you did a really big like run up. And do you remember when you thought,
yeah, and you just halted,
launch it?
Yeah.
And I took this big couple of steps and I just went, whoop.
It was almost like a comedy sketch. You took a massive run up and right at the last second you slowed right down.
And just went,
Yeah.
And sound effects for you constantly. Now, I feel like if we're like, because we talked about going back in the time machine last episode, that I feel like it's something we can improve in over time, because I think if you can get certain things dialed in, you then can improve over time with certain things. So I feel like if you're good at your mid-range shots, what's stopping you from doing those mid-range shots from off the tee? So then you can just continue to build up off that, and then using that technique and that motion that you do, and just change the disc. So for example, when I first started, I used the Rockstar as my driver, and now I'm only using the Roadrunner or the Rockstar, and they're both 9 and 8. I'm not throwing like big numbers anymore. Like they just don't seem to do what I want them to do. I get more out of an 8 and a 9.
I honestly think I can throw any of my discs the same distance.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I brought the mystery out.
You did?
And that's 11.
Yeah.
So I couldn't throw the mystery. It was
winding
me up.
Mm.
And that's when I started making the decisions. I've also got the Zeus in my bag, which is a 12.
Yeah.
So that's when I can't find a Zeus either. So that's when I kind of made a decision that it was time to take a step back.
Yeah.
I was throwing a Saint Well. That was a 9. I said, I'm not going to go over a 9.
Yeah.
So I didn't go over a 9 until I started throwing Ben's Avenger. Decided that I wanted a 10.
Got a 10.
Got myself a Construct.
And that is...
You love that.
That is a great disc.
The Construct. Throwing it really, really well.
It's very good.
Pulled a mystery out this week.
Mm.
The first thing... 10?
No, it's 11.
First thing I noticed...
It's slowly increasing in speed.
The first thing I noticed was... A, I'm throwing it better,
mm-hmm.
but B, I'm about ripping my arm out to do it.
Yeah, and I feel like that's...
So what's the point in going up that extra little bit of speed to get that extra little bit of distance if I'm going to come home on a Sunday and need just a nice pack?
Get a lightweight 7 and just launch it.
But I feel that's also knowing your arm speed and then training to get that speed. So I know on my gym workouts, my disc golf stuff, it's like I've taken more weights off and gone lighter weights and gone back to lower speeds, but my speed has increased for my arm speed. But I'm not going to immediately go, okay, I'm throwing that really well. I'm going to immediately start going to 10, 11, 12s again. No,
oh, no.
I don't want to do that.
Gradually,
yeah, I'm fine with where it's at. It's just all the little
throwing
things.
At the minute. Well, I'm not counting the disc that rolls, because that's not thrown like a disc.
No.
The highest speed I'm throwing at the minute is a 9.
Which is what?
Roadrunner.
Yeah.
Roadrunner's 9. Yeah, I'm throwing Roadrunner. That's my 9.
That's quite good, though. I quite like that.
It's a great little disc.
You hit that quite well.
Yeah, it's been pretty cool. I really like it.
That's improved. Like when you got a passion, improved your driving game. The Roadrunner's done that as well.
It's pretty good.
It's taking you to that step.
The passion marks.
You need to get that back off me, and I will gladly buy one, because I really like your passion.
Or,
it's
like
solid.
I said, just get a light one.
Just get a lighter one.
And you can have mine.
How light's light for you, though?
I think the lightest ones they do are like 169.
Is that what you want, like lowest?
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Last episode we talked about buying plastic crack. Now we're negotiating over plastic crack.
There is a pink one.
There is a pink one. I want to pick. Yeah.
Writing.
Yeah, I saw that. That's the one that you would like. Yeah. I saw that and was like, I either want that one or the lime green one, because the lime green one looks like
the
a watermelon.
One with the leopard writing is
pretty sick.
Yeah.
I know. And then, but the problem is, I've gone into the whole void of YouTube again and looking at stuff that Discmania are doing and kind of looking and going, I really want to mine a CD one, which is a 10 speed, because I really enjoyed throwing the PD and I was throwing that really well until I lost it. And then again, I was also enjoying throwing the Mentor, which was an 11, and I was throwing that very well and consistent. and it's just kind of like, do I rebuy those discs because I was enjoying it? But then, like we said, I'm in that predicament where I've got stuff in my bag I'm finally using again. I'm like, I'm enjoying that. Yeah, that's it. This is the problem with disc golf. When you get comfortable, you then get urges to buy new things.
You get emails from Ace saying this line has just dropped, and you're yeah. like, oh, I need to go and have a look. And you don't want to go and have a look because then your market start going.
But I do.
No, I need to go buy.
It's 100%. I was
literally looking now.
This is what happens all the time. I love that. But we know what you're buying this month. Like,
you don't.
Yeah, we do.
Well, we know one of the discs.
There's one of the discs that you're buying.
Hey, that's cool.
But no, it's like we were saying last week, there's some other things I would like I think Thought Space. I've been watching a lot of people throw Thought Space discs, and then funny enough, they're throwing the counterparts that I've got in my bag, and I'm kind of going like, they do something a little bit different than what that disc does. But I still need that one disc that finishes really hard to the right, not hard
to
the left.
I'm considering the lowest speed Thought Space disc. Because I want to see what their lower speed is like as well.
Well, I can give you. Yeah, I've got the Praxis, aka the Buddha. I can lend you that if you want to throw it around. 3301.
Oh, no, I'm thinking more 7.
Oh, really? Oh, okay.
Constructs 10. Like,
yeah.
There is a 7.
Yeah, there's a few.
Because Pathfinder's 5. Yeah, Pathfinder's the 5. Yeah, I'm trying to remember it now. I can see it, but I can't remember it.
Well, anyway, plastic crack.
Yeah, plastic crack. So yeah, driving.
I've literally just had to double check that we've not spoke about the beginner tip this week, because I know, I think at some point we may have mentioned it, but not as an actual beginner tip. I'm going to get away with it. So
driving, do you think it was important? Maybe yes, no.
Oh, yeah, let's answer that question. I don't think it is as important as everyone makes out. So you're watching YouTube and you know people are going, oh, I 50 meters, you drive instantly.
Yeah, your distance
this
is this.
It's distance. You don't see as many putting videos. You actually have to put disc golf putting into your search bar to actually get anywhere.
Yep.
It's all about driving.
And the worst thing as well, they do the driving on open fields. They don't say like, oh yeah, well, you've got to practice driving in this kind
when
of condition or winds
between
or
between a couple of trees and Mando's like 400 meters, like 400 meters, but 400 foot away. And it's just... It's a different game, isn't it?
It is. It's just basically, I think it's just like, learn how to get your arm speed and your technique down and understand those things, and you progressively get better and better. Like,
oh yeah, I genuinely think early on, I would have been better off, like say if we went back in that time machine, I would have been better off taking bogeys.
Yeah.
And actually just doing four shots and just nice four shots, learn how to throw a disc straight. Rather than learn how to throw this far.
Yeah.
Because I think I learned it the wrong way. I learned how to throw it far, then I learned how to throw it straight.
Mine are straighter.
Yeah.
Generally.
I'm fine. Like, we call it a little bit on our rounds the bogey bandwagon. I'm very comfortable with a bogey because I know when I look back on it, I'm like, how can I improve on that hole? Or how can I do
really
what I did?
Annoyed. I was having a really good round on Sunday. I was consistently getting one over, which is not great, but I was happy with it.
Yeah, but that's, kind of plus
but that's still fine.
And then, yeah.
One hole.
Hole 8.
Yeah. But that's always our kryptonite.
I was doing quite well, and it really did me in.
But that's
all
that
I'll
is
say
it,
is
though.
Remember, you wanted to bring the Mando in.
Yeah, because you guys used to be like, oh, if I just do this, I'll get a birdie.
No, it's solid pars most of the time, or birdies. We're now basket high sometimes if we don't go through the Mando.
You only used to get...
No, we used to get park. We used to play the Mando as a plus one.
Yeah, so always a plus one.
So me and Lee used to play behind the trees.
Yeah.
Purposely not doing the Mando so we can get a solid park.
I could be like, I'm going
a
basket
get a par,
high. Yeah.
I'd always get a bogey. And I was like...
Yeah.
If
we'll
I
play
make
official,
do
official.
This,
yeah. Official,
yeah,
official.
Yeah, it shot me in the foot, but...
it should make
time,
you a better player.
It was like, wow.
It is a really bad hole for beginners now. If you're starting off and you're like, right, how do you attack this hole? Approach. That's all you have to think of.
Yeah, and if we took somebody else, like if we had a brand new player, we wouldn't make them play that hole.
Hell no. I wouldn't say like Mando for those guys.
No.
Anyway.
They'll have to play the Mando, just
not. Yeah, driving.
Then it's like a plus one, not go back to the
driver.
I'm going to
try and roll it next time.
Fair. Okay.
If you hit the right roll, that'd be good.
Yeah. I just need to get through.
It can be. So I think our mixed thoughts is driving is and isn't really that important.
Unanswered.
Yeah. It's such a great first topic.
I suppose my answer is it's important because it is an important part of the game.
Mm.
but it's not as important as YouTube.
So yeah,
as I said, range is important. You have to be able to cover the range.
I would say then, dedicate one disc in your bag as your designated driver and learning disc. Because like when I started, it was the Rockstar. And then just basically get used to that as being your driver. That now is solidly a fairway. It lives up to its name now in my bag as a fairway driver. It now is my effective 3-wood like in my bag.
Yeah, like, my thought process is get a disc you can throw well.
Leopard 3.
Whatever it is, whatever the speed it is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And use that.
And just get used to it, yeah.
If you can't drive, and just use that from the start, even if it's a sensei. Use that, drive with that.
Yeah.
Just whatever. If you can get it to go...
miles.
Just chuck it.
Yeah.
Just use it.
There's a point when you drop down to maximum of a 6-7 in your bag.
Yeah, you did.
Apart from the night. Yeah, well, about 2 weeks ago. Last couple of rounds, yeah.
Yeah, because you went what? You went, the lowest you threw was what? Leopard. And then...
I've got like a few 7 speeds, haven't I?
You have. Because it was like Leopard, Cheetah and Archer were like the same kind of your longer leopard, discs you shot.
The Leopard, the Eagle and the It.
Yes. Oh, you have an It?
Speed. Yeah.
Oh, mate. I've been looking at that disc. I was like, I like this. It looks pretty cool. Okay.
Yeah, it's my orange one.
Gotcha.
Beginner tip.
Yes.
Stay focused on your current hole and not the last one.
Yes. Yeah, it's f***ing hard though.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah. But I mean that from both angles.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get a birdie on the last hole, don't go into the next hole like
smash that.
Woo!
Yeah. I'm gonna smash this. Yeah.
Doesn't matter what I've done, it's all got a birdie on the last one. Like it's a brand new hole. Try and win the hole, not the round.
Fair. Okay.
Something I've just been focusing on recently. It's been quite nice that my phone's been dying on a Sunday because I keep forgetting to plug it in. So somebody else has got to do the scoring because I've been focusing on winning the hole rather than winning
the
round.
I'm not even interested in winning the hole. I'm just interested in not doing shit. <All right. laughs>
I think how it has been over the last couple of weeks, because it's kind of improved. Like, I've loved seeing that I'm on a 5-win streak. Like my last 5 rounds that I've been having have been the best 5 previously, like I've had. And it's just little things I've been changing. But I also agree, there are certain, I think having the mindset of like, I know how I'm going to attack this hole, I'm going to do that. But there are certain things, Ben can be a testament to this, hole 8, that I'm the only guy in our group that threw the highest amount of tee shots there before I eventually got it through the Mando. And
he's still winning.
Yeah, but it's still a royally kicking the dick,
played.
Oh yeah, I am. I think it's not going to get beat. It's not going to get beat at all.
Yeah, good guy.
You were up there, yeah. But I feel like those kind of holes can really mess with you, because then you're just kind of like, even though it's like a few behind, you're just kind of like your head goes down a little bit. But now it's just kind of like you need to have that mentality of just like, truck it, I'm just gonna forget about it. You need to just block it out and move on to the next one.
Yeah,
and that's kind of hard, but also at the same time, if you can understand that, it benefits you a ton. Like I'm fine with bogeys on holes now. Like I think when I first started, I was like, I don't know what this is gonna be like, because obviously we're all learning and you're like not trying to keep score. But now, because we've been playing for so long, it's now kind of like, right, my pride's a little bit on the line here. I don't mind getting a bogey. You feel bad when you get like a double or a triple and you're just kind of just like, oh, I know what, screw me there. This shot, I need to improve on that. Because we've said it multiple times on this cast, we are our biggest cheerleaders. So we all know exactly what we can say to the person without pissing them off at the right moment. You just kind of just go like, next hole, you've got this, remember? Well, that getting in your heads, mate, some of the things you say in our latest foreplay video, brutal. I think my favourite one was, I think, near the end of the round, you said to Richard, I was like, oh, Rich, you got this. He was like, no, he hasn't. I want some discs. And he absolutely misses this, and then just the camera pans to you, and you just kind of just start laughing. So brutal.
And to say that we help each other out and we're cheerleaders and stuff, but you also refer to you throwing lots and lots of shots on hole 8.
Yeah.
And if we were cool, I was just crying.
Yeah, we were all laughing. I was like, this is just getting more and more annoying. More and more annoying.
And your final shot didn't even like go anywhere near.
No, I did a purposed approach on purpose. I was like, I'm just going to throw a really slow speed and not get it through the Mando and just
didn't it smash
do it
off
smart.
A tree?
It smashed off a tree and didn't go through the Mando. It basically, it hit, bounced off the tree, came back, and it was like, the Mando line's here. The disc is nowhere near the Mando, but it will be, if forward thrown, it will go through it.
It's technically my second shot. They can't make me go back to the tee.
Yeah, exactly. And that was honestly it. But I feel like that's it as well. I think like that hole for like how we play it, you're just kind of like either approach, get par, or if you're feeling up for it, I'll take one risk. I'll take one risk. And if so, I'll then bogey.
Yeah.
Fair.
Next little topic. We're going to hit lots of little topics this week.
We are.
One big one. Gillies. So
yes.
Great tournament.
It was. It was really good. I enjoyed my time at Gillies again.
Yeah. And if you join, if you joined us since our very first early podcasts, then you know that we played Gillies early on.
Early on.
So this has been our last tournament of the season. There are some others that we're contemplating, but it's looking doubtful as the winter sets in.
Yeah, 100%.
So, shout out to Andrew.
Yeah,
thank
good shout.
Thank you, Andrew. Second tournament we've been of yours. Well organised, well sorted out.
Everyone super friendly as well. Doing. Really great group of guys and girls that were there. Super sound.
Shame about the storm that was coming in.
Yeah. Yes. We drove like after like 15 minutes of driving, it then came down. We just missed it, didn't we?
Yeah.
That's crazy. Like it literally was like Jurassic Park Wayne? Rain and wind.
It just meant that the lunch was shorter, so there was no Ring of Fire or anything like that. And
we were looking forward to Ring of Fire.
Yeah, and everything was just a bit rushed, but not rushed in a bad way.
No, not at all.
No, rushed in a sensible way.
Yeah.
But it didn't feel as relaxed as other tournaments.
Yeah.
But rightfully so. No one needs to be playing in the forest in a thunderstorm.
No, not at all. Why not?
Why not?
We've all seen Caddyshack. That ends up well for the priest. No, Gillies. It was good. Honestly, I think it is, and we will constantly say this on our podcast, it is definitely the hardest course in England, no matter what anyone says.
Oh, yeah.
In the UK. Good holes, bad holes, riveting games of where the did that go happened. Good tree, bad tree happened a bit for me.
I like Gillies. I intend to play less next season than we have this season.
Woo-hoo. Yeah. Ben's happy.
And I do not intend, unless a Gillies is part of a series of tournaments.
Yeah.
Even though I'm going to enter more tournaments next year, I don't intend to enter a Gillies tournament.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's paid torture for us, but it's fun. I absolutely loved it because
I want to make it clear. That's nothing.
Yeah.
I know Ben doesn't like Gillies, but that's nothing against
Gillies. He does, but he always sounds negative.
Pisses me off.
I know it does.
It's just that
we really like Gillies.
I want to go.
Yeah.
And play the tournaments at the other courses.
At the other courses.
That weekend one that I really fancy next year.
Yeah.
The Wreckhead one.
Yeah, the Wreckhead one. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be an interesting.
The one in Bristol again. Would love to do that one. We've also got your birthday weekend again.
Yeah,
that's going to happen. If so.
We missed Amesbury.
We did.
Because the sign off was that, and I would have loved to go to Amesbury and played. You didn't get to play that course with us. You would have absolutely loved it.
That was a night of my mum's birthday, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Shout out, mum.
That's a good course.
I'm really excited to play that course.
I would have got up early to drive to that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, sick. Okay, guys hide it in high regard.
High regard.
That's the word. That get your words out, Lee.
You've not played a course like it.
Oh, okay. I'm excited to play it. Sweet.
Because it's short.
It's short, but and do you know when you can sometimes go to a disc golf course and you stand there and take a look around and go, "This is actually a touch beautiful."
This is beautiful.
It's serenity at its best.
Oh.
Not Amesbury.
No, not Amesbury.
Amesbury's got a different vibe, right?
Oh, okay.
You kind of expect crocodile people to come out of the sewers.
Really? It's like an episode of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Fantastic. Like
Toxic Avenger style.
Yes! Amazing. Awesome. Oh, brilliant.
But yeah, well, we can't really go on about getting too much, so that's why I decided to thought, you know, it's probably best a short one, because what can we say that we didn't say about other tournaments? It was fun. We met some great people.
Yeah.
We didn't do very well.
Richard did all right. We expected Richard to do okay. I went in with an expectation of don't finish last and have a blast.
Oh, don't. You make me feel really bad.
I'm not going to say have a blast.
No, I mean, because obviously...
Oh, yeah, you didn't know. Yeah, okay, yeah, I see that.
There was a guy sat in a car next to us, and he sat on his boot, and I didn't know he was the guy that come last.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, he didn't
when
know.
When he came in and he looked a bit down, I was like, well, at least you didn't come last, pal.
Yeah.
And then this other guy just...
kind of stopped. Yeah. And I just didn't. I was like, I didn't realise it was so-and-so, so. But it was fine. Like... the funniest thing for me is like
nothing I said, wrong with coming last.
It's, yeah, exactly.
It's, I mean, if I had come, I'd have come last. So.
But the thing was, I said
what I should have said to me before. Oh, mate, yeah. You've been fine, mate.
I think I had goals and expectations that I wanted to, and I hit all of them, so I was happy with it. And yeah, there's some holes that I've kind of understood, and there's some holes where I'm just like, yeah, I threw that bad, and that then on the second round, I overthrew the holes that I did really well on bad, and the holes that I did bad. Really well on the first round, so it's like it was kind of like a vice versa round. It was quite fun, but yeah, second round for me, obviously, when you're on the tournament and it's a totem pole, I feel the first group I went out with, fantastic group of guys, really really nice sound guys, nothing against them, but it just seemed a bit serious. Like the air, there wasn't that much of banter going on. There was a bit of talking, but not like a huge amount. Second round, the guys I was with, we were talking more about like real life stuff instead of actual disc golf. We were talking about sports, we were just talking about life, and I know disc golf is real life, but it was more than just like, oh yeah, here we go, you had a bad shot or a good shot. Every shot we had, we were just like, good shot, well done, and then just like, yeah, next hole we can do better. It was just, I was just kind of like, this is like another round with the boys, but they're not my boys, there's some other boys I know, and it was really cool, and they were a really really sound group. Like, I'm not going to take anything away from my first group.
You know, we're sound.
Yeah.
We're nice. You know, we had a nice, pleasant time. It was good. We had a laugh.
Yeah.
There was nothing too serious about it.
Yeah.
And I would probably praise that grouping more, but my second group, it was me and two others, and we were the banter brigade.
Yeah. I don't know what it is about the second round. As soon as, like, you go, like, okay, I'm not probably going to win this. Oh, I'm with guys with the same ranks as me, but we all seem to have a lot in common, and it's freaking hilarious. I love it. Don't know what it is.
Second rounds are way more fun.
Unless yes. No, it was good. Shout out, Andrew. Yeah, the fun police.
Weird obstacles.
Yes. So next topic.
So we mentioned this because we were playing 2 weeks ago. Yeah, 2 weeks ago. Mm. And one of us landed in a bunker. So at Bedworth, it was originally a pitch and putt. Still kind of is a pitch and putt, but not really. But
yeah,
originally it was pitch and putt, and there's a couple of pitch and putt bunkers in there. So one of us landed in it, and Richard was like, well, what are the rules here? You know, what are the rules on bunkers? Now, thankfully at Bedworth, it's clearly marked out that the bunkers are out of bounds.
Yeah, it says so, it on the maps. Yeah.
Nice and simple, you add a point.
Mm-hmm.
I've been looking into the PDGA.
Oh, here we go. Is this a game changer for us now?
No.
Thank Christ.
The PDGA rules around bunkers are extensive.
Okay.
All right. So you've got bunkers, which are, you've got out of bound areas. So it doesn't necessarily be a bunker. If we wanted to go and tape off a little circle in front of hole 18 and say, that's now a bunker, it's out of bounds. So that is little out of bounds zones. You treat them the same as you would any other out of bounds zones.
Okay.
But they need to be clearly marked on the map, or if you're playing tournament day, mark them out. If you're playing casual, you get to the side of playing on the map rules or not.
Okay.
You then got something else, which I can only pronounce as a bunker, because it's... Yeah, so what this is and that plays like an actual bunker in golf.
Right, okay.
So if you land in it,
yep,
you don't actually get a penalty.
Oh, you have to play in it.
You have to play from it. The difference is, because obviously if you land in the sand in golf, you've got a disadvantage because you can't wedge or whatever it is that you stick boys
through.
You
can't pick it up and throw it.
Yeah,
100%. Right. You've got to hit the sand, not the ball.
In the bunker, the sand maybe affect your grip a little bit.
It's not.
No.
So these bunkers are basically deep in the ground. So you're talking like 3-4 foot deep. So you have to waddle your way into them.
Okay.
So it's like full for you.
So it's like quick. I was going to say, it's like quicksand for us small people. It's like, how is it? Oh, it's just going to be like.
All right.
But yeah, so you're
in the hole.
You're almost down a hole and he's got like this wall in front of you. So you got to play. You can't play flat. You got to play. But you don't take a plus one.
I'm so glad we don't have any of these in England.
Oh, well, apparently Scotland they do.
Wow, well, we're not going anywhere.
I want them.
You want them?
Yeah.
I'll be in
Scotland
that.
Road trip.
No, I'm going to go to Bedworth and dig those bunkers 3 foot deep.
Oh, to be honest, there's a fair few big holes in them, isn't there, sometimes? I'm pretty positive it's either the Bedworth beaver or it's just a really aggressive dog just trying to dig their way into some of the bunkers. Or moles.
I'm just like, I'm into it.
That's interesting. Wait, three. That would really mess you up a little bit as well. Like, you wouldn't be able to get, like, possibly a moment. Oh, mate, that would be interesting.
But I also looked into bushes. So you think about, like, a full-on little thorn bush, right? That's
right.
Like, just in the middle. So gillies in particular have a few holes where if you play a bit to the left or the right, you then have to play either through or over some little thorn bushes that are quite close to the basket.
Yeah.
Now, if your disc goes flying in dead centre, common sense would tell you, take your disc out, play it from behind the bush in line with the basket.
Yeah, 100%.
That's what common sense would tell you.
But...
However, but the PDGA rules...
Yeah.
Get in that bush.
Again, much like the bunker rule, it's like, depends on who's winning the tournament and what they say.
What an... You're an absolute narcissist if you are.
Get in the bush.
Like, normally it's like, you can't play that. Okay, so you just go back and play where it lies, in line with it, behind it. That's most of the time. Most tournaments we've gone to, that's been the rule. And then you've asked the group you're with, I'm all right with that. Because you're not going to be like, yeah, that's all like stinging nettles and thorns. Get in there and have a good time. No, like... Yeah. Yeah, no, you
get
would. You're fine, Mr. Asbestos, but us boys who literally, if we get like destroyed by like nature, we're doomed like the next couple of days.
But there are some rules around bushes and little obstacles. So we know this, but I don't think we've ever spoke about it on a podcast before, so it's worth telling all the beginners out there these little nuances.
Hello.
You can't move something out of the way with your hand.
Yeah.
So you can't hold a branch down.
I knew that.
Or hold a branch up.
Yeah. Okay.
To throw your disc.
Ooh.
You also can't lean on anything. So if you're like right up against a tree and you're
I remember
you
that.
You can't use your arm to prop you up and spin around the tree, which are a little unusual rules.
Yeah.
Now, there's a difference between a casual obstacle.
Yeah.
And we definitely spoke about this. So if a branch is fallen off the bush and is on your footing, if it's not attached to the bush, pick it up and throw it away.
Get out of the way so it doesn't mess up your footing. Yeah.
If it's attached to the bush,
yeah,
tough.
Yeah,
and that includes all things like vines and thorns, and we find ourselves quite often in this.
Yeah, we do. We're suckers of being bush.
In fact,
suckers.
You want to see the state of my leg from Sunday?
That bad?
Oh, it's awful. And I didn't even have to go in it in the end.
Oh, yeah.
That was when you were like in it, and it was just like,
like head on.
We made so many Lost World guys. Don't go into the long grass. It's just a raptor just going to jump out.
At one point, the stinger sprang back and smacked me in the face, and I thought, that's going to hurt later. Didn't even notice it because my leg was on fire, mate.
Thank God. It was awful.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
Living the dream. The things we do for plastic discs. Yeah, didn't you make the joke? It's like, I do not spend... What was the thing?
I said, I wouldn't look this hard for a tenner.
Yeah. Yes. 100%. But we do, for some weird reason.
Mate, well, this is it. If you saw a 20 bill float off in the wind and land in them stingers that I walked through, you just wouldn't bother.
I'd be like...
You wouldn't. Some people might. I wouldn't.
I wouldn't. Cause
yeah.
Yeah, you didn't know where it had gone. All the same things when you lose a disc. I'm not really sure where it's gone.
This is it. I'd walk home sad and think, can't buy a disc this month.
Can't buy a disc this month.
It's in there somewhere.
I love that. Oh, that's funny.
But yeah,
hell.
Casual obstacles. Yeah. So I'll try to look at several different ones, because when we play at Quarry, I love the statues around Quarry.
Mm.
Now, never seen it happen. It's highly unlikely it'll happen. But take one of my favourite statues that they got is the guy that's actually playing disc golf.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
like
yeah.
That wrap round metal, when it's like kind of
made. Yeah, hole two's
kind
cage.
Of made out of spiralled metal. Yeah. Right? Now, if you released early, and you would have to release pretty early,
mm-hmm.
and the disc got like jammed in his head, what are the rules there?
Yeah, that's true.
Like, oh,
Badass.
You'd just be like, you tried to Kung Lao him, literally. You tried to Kung Lao him.
But it, as it turns out, and I should have known this before I even started looking, but it just depends on who's running the tournament, what group of lads you're with. So if you're playing casual and you are playing some rules, just decide amongst yourself. I mean, that's obvious. But yeah, if you're playing a tournament, ring the tournament director if you're arguing. I don't think I would ever get to that point. I think
Why would you argue?
I think if someone was like saying to me, like, you're in the wrong here, and they got to a 2v2 and they went, we're going to ring the tournament director, I think I'd just go, you know what, I am right, but it's all right. I'll just go with what
I'm just like,
doing.
We're literally arguing over discs. Like, I'm not that worried about it. Just chill.
Yeah.
But then I think that's all of us like being like super mellow about. I bet there are people who've been like lost their shit over stuff like.
Oh, they're in 2034 when it's down to a gold medal. Me versus a Russian.
Oh yeah. Oh mate, yeah. When Ben's representing Iran, you know, anything's possible. Me representing Madagascar, you know, anything's possible.
Yeah.
I would just be like, Ben, I'm sorry, but this is for the bronze medal. You're retaking your shot, mate. I'm sorry.
I know we've got some Papua New Guinea in me.
Maybe there we go.
They are a whole country, aren't they?
I don't know. Maybe my geography is not that great. Papua New Guinea. Yeah, that we've got three countries that we can represent here on the table. It's like whenever you play track and field on the PlayStation, you just pick the most random country and then just go for it and destroy like your PlayStation controller in the sprinting and whatever. Oh, mate. Memories.
Track and field. Daley Thompson's. Oh, was it Daley Thompson's? That's another conversation.
That's another conversation another day. Oh, mate. No, I can understand that. I think because we always say like, I think if we ever had to make our own discs, we would make discs that literally could cut through anything. So it could be like the perfect like
tree trimmer,
bushwhacker, like just help you out. Because I feel like we've just got woodlands everywhere in the Midlands where disc golfs are. So. Yeah.
Am I the only one that came up with a disc of the week this week?
No, I've got one. I'm gonna go back to my one. I can go revisit it and tell everyone that they should buy it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I'm doing a revisit.
Fair. Yeah. Well, Dan, you go for yours, because yours is a revisit, right?
No.
You've never done this one. Oh, no, I get them modelled up. Go for it.
And I will say, because at first I thought I had done this.
Right. Yeah.
So mine's a Latitude 64 Diamond. So I had the Diamond Standard Edition, and I bought it for my birthday, and I was throwing it really well. It was a very straight flying disc. It had a bit of fade at the end, gave me a bit of a hook, but yeah, good disc. Threw it into some bushes when we were playing, and when I went to Sherwood, could not find it. Was gutted because it had been brought to me for my birthday, and it was a good disc. So coincidentally, they did their 30 years anniversary edition, and I brought one of them in a premium plastic because that's what you do.
It's snazzy. I do like that one.
Oh, it's nice. But has it got the same flight path? Has it bollocks?
Is it really not?
But
has it bollocks?
But I've been looking for a disc that I can throw off to the right that will come back left for a long, long time. Now, what about a diamond hits the ground and rolls to the left rather than fades to the left, could not be happier.
I quote, why do you always roll so far?
Oh, yeah. It does. Like, once I've got to master it not rolling off.
It goes so left.
It goes so left. Because it always comes, wherever he throws it, like, it always comes good. Back on
good.
Itself.
This is good.
Though.
And then it ends up real all the way over.
Yeah.
Once I've mastered that bit, it's going to be a perfect disc. A nice little right turn. What's the scores on the boards? 8-6-0. No, that don't sound right. Even for a start. 8-6-3-1.
Okay. Yeah, so it's a good... I know for a fact when everyone brings up the diamond, it's in the conversation with the leopard. Like, good mid-range starter disc. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. Yeah, really good. I'm a big fan of it.
It's a good disc. Can't argue with it, to be honest. It's a very good disc.
And the 30-year special edition looks really smart. If you're thinking about buying a diamond, buy one now while this disc is still available.
Yeah, the artwork's a selling point,
it's
ain't it?
It's not just the artwork, it's...
The feel as well.
Not so much the feel, but like... So not just the actual... Because like originally it was just a... eagle or a hawk having a diamond. Yeah. And I've added like some kind of python snake.
Yeah, on top of it as well.
Also trying to compete for the diamond. So that looks nicer.
Yeah.
But the discs themselves are not just plain discs now. They've got that nice black rim colour in the middle. I've got
almost got a halo star look to it. With the rim around the edge and a different colour on the inside.
Yeah. Yeah. The river does the same. There's a few Latitude discs that do that, actually. The same Pro has got that kind of effect with the wolf. But yeah, fantastic disc.
It is a good disc.
Go on, Lee.
I'm going back to Old Faithful. I've been throwing it a lot more again. The Rockstar. Love the Rockstar.
I knew you was going to say that.
Yeah, I know. It's just become such a consistent disc because I've been throwing the Passion of yours, Ben. Like, I've just been like...
In fact, I think if you go back over the old cast, this might be the third time you've done the Rockstar's disc of the week.
I just love it. I just love this disc. It's such a beefy disc. It's amazing. I just love it. It's just simple as. It's now officially my 3-wood. That's how I've called it. In my golf, if a golf bag terms, it's just very reliable. But I feel like that's because I've beated it in for so long. It's just I know how it's gonna fly. When it starts not obeying, a new one will be bought, guaranteed. Like it's never gonna go out of my bag, ever. It's gonna be a bag for life disc. Simple as. Numbers is 8, 5, -2, 1. So it's got a bit of glide, speed 8. Turn is 2 and the fade is 1, so it's gonna go a little
bit. It's
your
most consistent disc.
It is a very consistent disc, and I love it. And you know, it's gonna take a hell of a lot of, you know, it's gonna take something to take it out of my bag. I just like it. I find beefier discs I enjoy. I just like.
And you mentioned it earlier that it's more about technique than it is about arm speed and stuff. And when you actually throw the Rockstar, because you like a couple of warm up.
Yes.
Swings kind of looks like, and because you don't necessarily whip the Rockstar, it kind of looks like you're doing Tai Chi. From a distance, it generally looks like you're doing a little bit of Tai Chi, and then suddenly this Rockstar travels like.
Yeah, the Tai Chi kind of warm up. Yeah, I've gone back to the Tai Chi one just because it's kind of nice and relaxing. Exactly, Ben. It is. I love it. You know. Shoulder rug, Tai Chi, and then throw. That's what it is these days for my warm up now before run up. So,
mate, sweet.
I love it. Ben.
The Rock. Oh, you were throwing that so well.
This is the worst thing because you have too many orange discs. I was like, oh, that's a great Toro shot. And he was like, no, it was this one. No, it was this one. No, it's that one. And yeah, The Rock, you were throwing pretty solid.
Orange is just a really good colour to find.
Unless it's the same.
Let's not talk about that. It gives me PTSD. I don't think I've fully mastered The Rock yet, but it was doing some all right stuff.
Yeah, it's a good disc. Again, it's a good disc.
The Toro, mid-range discs have been working pretty well.
The Toro's been quite good if you nail it, because you can nail a long put with a Toro.
Yeah.
But you miss that long put and you tend to go a bit too
further over. Yeah.
The Rock on Sunday was...
Lant was stopping, weren't it?
Under the basket.
If
you didn't make the shot, it was under the basket. It was...
was the... the shot 2 for the doubles round on hole 2?
I barely remember this morning, mate.
No. It was.
Because you were like,
I spanned the Raptor.
This approach
into this.
Needs to be good.
Yeah.
And then it was good.
No, it was shot 1 on hole 2. I said your drive needs to be good because it's a shorter hole 2, isn't it?
We're playing. I used The Rock though, didn't I?
You did. Yeah.
I said your drive needs to be good because you seen my approach game today and it was solid.
Solid. On the green.
It was.
Give me a put. It was like you knew not to leave
not
me.
Not to f*** up. Yeah.
No, it was good. I do like the rock.
Was it 4-3?
4-4-0-3, if I'm correct. Lost it, haven't I?
Does Rayman know his numbers?
No, because he just looks at new discs. Discs.
You're having a database overload, aren't you, mate? That's honestly what it comes down to.
4-4-0-3, I did know my numbers.
Nice, there you go. No, it is good. You were throwing that really well, but then the problem is I feel like you're currently throwing a lot of discs well.
I'm doing all right. I'm throwing some of them all right.
Yeah.
Trouble is, we're all getting better.
Yeah.
But then take Richard. He went out the week I couldn't come. He went out with you.
Oh, yeah.
And had an absolutely awful
The round which will not be spoken of, because I was like, I was trying to make sure, because Rich listens to these podcasts, I was definitely saying, I was like, I can be his cheerleader here, but I can tell that he's just getting more and
just
more
annoyed.
You can like, if it was raining, which it was, sizzling on his hairline, because I could tell he was getting pissed. He was really angry because he knew he could throw better. That was the issue. Yeah.
Couple of steps away from kicking a berg.
Yeah. Or just kicking whatever was there.
Following week he wasn't as bad. He didn't get as bad a score, but he still wasn't on form.
No.
And he smashed it this week, didn't he?
Last couple of weeks smashed it.
Yeah, yes.
He got a PB this week, though.
Yeah, got a PB.
He did. He got his personal best.
And this happens. I mean, I've had them where all of a sudden I'm getting like 20 plus and I'm like, well, what is this about?
Yep.
There was a period where I wouldn't see above a 10 and then suddenly I was getting 25s.
Yeah.
And it might have been I changed something in my game, and then I got all these different reasons and running around my head of like, why has this happened? But sometimes it just happens.
You're going through some interesting form, or you find something that works for you. It just seems to work.
And I think Ben's hitting that stride at the minute where he's hitting some good form.
Yeah, I agree. So he slowed it down. He's gone, this is like we were talking about in the last episode, he's gone back to basics a little bit, and it seems to just be working out really well for him.
I even hit a decent putt this weekend.
Yeah.
No, you had a decent game. It was like one or two holes of
and that's honestly
I think
it.
Other than hole 8, the highest I scored was a 6.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You got a 6 was it a 6 on 6?
Yeah, because I hit the bunker, didn't I?
Yeah. And then
that was
hole
rude,
8
though.
Was just atrocious.
But the rest of them were okay.
Yeah. A couple of bogeys, most of them pars. Well, you're doing all right.
Yeah.
Well, they're mostly bogeys, but it was fine because we were all bogeying.
Yeah.
Yeah, mostly bogeys.
We're all on bogeys.
It's a good round.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. That's what's annoyed me, because I was like, this is going to be... It's going to be good.
But I feel like that's it with us at the moment. We all have the things where one week we'll par it, another week we'll bogey it, another week we'll par it.
I got three birdies this week.
You went off a little bit.
Watch that happen Sunday coming.
You're going to be on a run of like dog shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Just a run of dog shit. Just like, can't catch a birdie.
So.
But three.
Year's not up.
No.
And we've not been casting for a year.
No.
But it's kind of the end of the season. The dark nights are rolling in. It's getting a bit wet. It's getting a bit...
cold mornings. Oh.
Our season's going to change. For a lot of disc golfers, the season's just changing.
No more leaves. No more branches.
No more leaves. No more branches.
Wet ground.
Crazy wind.
Yeah.
Wet ground. Oof. Ice, snow.
Hopefully a snow round. I love that. If a snow comes out, I'm bringing out the camera, because that was so much fun.
More important, glow rounds.
Glow rounds, yes.
I need rock hard ice. rock hard ice for my rollers, man.
We'll have an interesting winter. Yeah.
Mm.
But realistically, the summer season's ended.
Yeah.
We're getting to a point where ginormous drives are going to be interesting. Because I remember last winter we weren't throwing anywhere near as far.
No.
And it was mental then.
Yeah.
Basically, the leopard will be staying at home.
It's going to hibernate a bit, eh?
Like, do you remember the fishing weights you can get? Let's get some of them in orders.
Nah. Just jab them in it. Just stay at home. It'd
be literally like a claymore in the air. Just like, just casually balls, bearings flying everywhere.
The leopard staying at home.
Jeez.
Or I get a new leopard.
Yeah.
A heavier.
Heavy leopard.
A heavy leopard. Oh, no, it's going
to
change.
What you call a fat leopard, but it's just a fat leopard.
Yeah.
Dead.
Dead.
So let's round this out.
Love that.
Let's round
just
this
dead.
Out.
Just a corpse.
Highlight of the year. Now, I think my highlight of the season has definitely been. Now, I'm going to cheat here a bit and combine a bunch of highlights together.
Okay.
And also squeeze in the second highlight because I've got two. One of my biggest highlights of the year are the days where we've done more than one course. So we got my birthday weekend, we did 3 days there.
Right, okay.
When okay. I had, I booked a random week off and you don't work. No, yeah. Obviously you do work. But you
when
know.
I don't, yeah. When I have the opportunity not to
we
work.
Had we had 2 days during that week where we went and did two or three courses
yeah.
By the
that
day.
Was sick.
And I've loved them days. They've been my big highlights. It's just been fun.
Yeah.
I've always fancied the road trip and never got around to it. And this is giving me an excuse to do a road trip every now and then. And it's just, fun.
Just fun.
Early start, late finish.
Yeah.
A few rounds of disc golf, see some sights, meet some people.
It's true, actually. Yeah, because I bet you... Because who was... You had a round with someone that said they wanted us to go out and play around with them.
That's the one at Amesbury.
At Amesbury, yeah. Okay, okay. That needs to happen.
Yeah. And like, but you know, just meeting people who own the courses, meeting people who work at the courses, meeting random members of the public.
Networking.
You know, you were there
network.
2 weeks ago, some 60, 70, I say 60, 70, I'm probably insulting, a 50, 60 year old.
A middle aged woman.
Yeah. Some middle aged Asian woman came and had a lovely chat with me about getting into the sport.
Yeah, she was curious.
What a lad.
Love me.
What a lad.
But I think my personal highlight of the year came recently, and as much as we work your fingers to the bone, Lee, I'm really keen to get the foreplay video,
Bergmasters
video out.
That is
because
legit.
I've been close to an ace.
Yeah.
Several times I've hit the ring.
Yeah. You two have been... You've got an unofficial ace, Ben.
Yeah, Ben's got an unofficial one, and Ben's also...
I've also hit a few, yeah.
Yeah.
Hit rims and hit...
Hit chains and that one... Was it Arrow Valley?
Yeah.
One way of shooting, when I shot up into the trees, I hit the chains then, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah, you and me are the closest to getting one, aren't we?
Yeah.
Like,
but that 100%. One recently...
That was close, man.
That was the closest... Yeah.
If it was an... inch to the right.
Yeah, 100%.
An inch to the right, it would have nailed it.
Yeah, when I slowed it down, it is literally, if it was a little bit more over to the right, it would have stayed.
It's because it hits it and it just comes through.
Bam and went. Just kicked it out at a right angle.
That's what I've got.
This time next year, when we're talking about our season highlights, it's going to be nailed that ace.
Nailed that ace. It's still, it's the elusive ace.
I've got a rubbery berg.
Like a rubbery berg.
Rubbery Benny 2 bergs over here. Soon to be Benny 3 bergs.
Tomorrow it'll be 3. Like,
tomorrow will be
it
three.
Will legitimately be 3 bergs.
When
tomorrow.
Do they go live?
Tomorrow.
What time?
I'm not telling.
Son of a bitch! No, the next one, I've got my next approach disc. I need to buy something. 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Okay. I won't be awake for that, guaranteed.
Sweet. I will. I'll be well awake and in Birmingham. And
I'll be thinking about going to work, ordering a berg.
I'll be at work. Just not
everyone's like, what did you do at 10 p.m. the other day? Well, I was on a pre-order site for... that because I know
I'm debating whether I actually need it though.
Yeah, because I know to
need and want to do.
So they are. Yeah, I've just realised this is very dangerous because there's two things happening at 10 o'clock tomorrow. I know there's the new Berg, and there's Tenacious D tickets going up at the same time.
Just get the Berg.
Get the Berg.
That's another conversation.
It is.
Highlight of the year.
Highlight for the year. I kind of am a little bit sentimental like you, Dan. I think the amount of courses we've gone to and like just playing more with you guys has really just invigorated to play more disc golf. Like,
oh,
I found
friends.
Myself, I know, disc friends. But I feel like it has been like I found myself going out, doing more practices, going out to Bedworth and just getting a couple of practice rounds in and doing stuff and trying to like nail stuff down and just personally growing the sport is what I like doing. This podcast has probably been a highlight this year. And the content that we've got planned eventually to come out on our Discheads YouTube channel and stuff that we can do. Because, yeah, they're fun to edit, but they do take a bloody long time when you've got no social life at the moment.
Yeah, if anyone wants to sponsor us and Lee can quit his job and edit them, then
yeah, we'll start a Patreon soon. That's how we'll do it. But no, it's been, I think that, but also...
We're lucky to get free listeners, Dave. We're like, oh, I can't start charging them.
If we charge them all £1,000 though.
Charge them in Bergs and Banger GTs. That's what we need. No, we just need, it's just the little things. We still have to work part time. We'll just charge them. No, but I think it's just, yeah, the little things like that. I've really...
Only funds.
Yeah. Feet shots with disc golf. Feet and discs, that's what we'll do. No, it's just those things definitely for highlights this year. And just I think like I've definitely improved from where I was when I first started. So I can take like great, especially like I think the last 2 months I've been probably playing Lights Out, my best I've ever played. And I've just literally changed certain things and just keeping that momentum going. So that'll be it, I think. And yeah, just playing more courses, playing more with you guys and hanging out and stuff has been pretty much a highlight. So
Benny slash 2 to 3 Bergs.
Yeah. 2 to 3 Bergs.
I hadn't really thought about it. I didn't really think I had one until you mentioned the fact that I've nearly hit a few aces.
Yeah.
It's true.
Because I forget about that.
Yeah, you forget about the good times. Because you had a bit of a slump, you forget.
I have to admit, the Berg kick has not, like, unofficially, don't want it to be a bad memory, but it's definitely a highlight for me because I've never seen you get so angry that you kicked a Berg.
That was a rage moment.
That was...
I've done that at least 3 times.
I've seen him kick all sorts of...
But the fact that he missed it and then just went full ball, I soccer penalty so ball. It was. It was a football run-up. You just ran up to it and just punted it.
No, it rolled. It bounced off, rolled towards me, and I just blasted
Bam.
It.
Yeah.
Like...
I also think you catching something in a foreplay video was one of my highlights this year.
Oh, yeah.
That was funny as hell. Like... Edited that, I laughed so much.
Was that an official shot that I caught? Because it came at me.
Yeah, it was, So Rich tried to putt and you just grabbed it and there was an awkward silence and then you just like, you threw it at me. And then we had to just like throw it behind him a little bit, which was funny. That was good.
Yeah, I didn't even think. I think it was just coming and I was like...
Yeah, but it is literally just whoosh, like...
Yeah, I can think of at least three or... I can think of three off the top of my head. Like close aces for you.
Yeah.
So if not counting the unofficial ace, if you went official shots only.
Your archer from...
And by unofficial ace, what we mean is that he threw a shot that was his shot, and then he went, oh, I could do that better, and then threw another shot.
And it went in.
And it went in.
Yeah, fair. All right.
Because we heard the chains, we went like, that's gone
the
in.
Only one that's not been with the archer, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The archer... At a certain range, seems to just go. I'm telling you what, that's gonna be the one I'm gonna.
Gonna
get
say, I think the one for me, if I was to pick my favorite your ace moment, if that makes sense, was the one that you threw at Quarry, and it was going in, it was going in, it was going in, it was going in, and then a little bit of wind has pushed it like half a centimeter down. Just hit the rim and bounced off.
That was like brand new. Archer, weren't
it? Yeah, it was, yeah.
Like,
and all the way there, it was so straight.
It was so
nice. It was like you literally threw an arrow down.
I don't even think I threw it up until that hole.
Yeah, it was just, and it was just like, it's going all the way down. You was like, this is it. This is the moment. And then you were talking centimetres.
And it literally, and it, the centre of the disc.
It's a fact.
Top of the rim.
Yeah,
it's
so annoying.
The fact that you actually saw the wind take it down.
Just
that
drop
notch.
It. Yeah.
If it didn't drop it, it's annoying. But I feel so. Is that?
It wouldn't, that was one that wouldn't have come out.
No, it wouldn't have. It went straight. It was going straight in the middle.
It was going for the pole, wasn't it?
Oh yeah, it was dead centre.
It's dead centre.
Yeah, that was.
And if it spat out, it would have been brutal.
It would have been have to spat out hard.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to be your disc that you're going to ace with first.
I do genuinely think if I'm going to get an ace, it's going to be with that.
Yeah.
Or when I get an ace, it'll be with that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a web.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true. Oh.
So my brain is not fully functional. When I set up the podcast tonight, I got to the before we go, where I normally either promote Bleep Tink or promote our other stuff or promote Ace Disc Golf or promote other things. I couldn't think of anything I really wanted to promote.
So, fair.
Before we go, you. So Lee, is there anything you want to tell us that's going on the Bleep Tink?
Yeah, actually, our next podcast is going to be coming live. It'll be out by the time we've heard this. Our first episode of Digression Session, Gladiators, will be out, guys.
Contender ready.
Mate, that podcast had me in stitches. My dad even listened to it before it came out and was like, you just need to do more podcasts like this because it's just talking and having a good time.
I,
oh,
really
I love
enjoyed
it.
The last one we did.
Yeah, like the money, the music stupid. One was stupid fun.
But it was real
Brian
fun.
Enjoyed
yeah.
the kids show one.
Kids
as
show
well.
One as well.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
But
yeah.
it's a good podcast.
The music
good,
none
stupid.
Of these are available yet.
Because yeah, eventually they will.
Will be available.
Gladiators
before
will
this
be.
Cast is available.
The
yeah.
music one was.
We 2 weeks old on the disc golf ones as well. It's 13's what's just come out.
It literally just come out today.
It dropped today when we're recording this because I'm just been backed up with stupid stuff
again. Pay Lee.
Nah, it's good. Yeah, so we've got that in the works. That was our other podcast. Obviously our Discheads YouTube channel, when you're watching this on YouTube, we've got a link that basically goes, hey, go check out our channel. We're going to be dropping more stuff out there. I've recorded a review of a disc that I need to kind Ooh. Of sort out. Yeah, you know, it's the my favorite putter, which no longer I use to put at the moment, which is quite funny.
You did a Sensei review.
Yeah, I did a Sensei review. Yeah, I love my
and
Sensei.
And that's the unboxing video did well. I am contemplating
yeah.
more
getting
unboxing.
A new box.
Just getting a new box. I want to get the... Right, so there is a Discmania mystery box happening in either October or November. I want to get that.
One.
Yeah, I want to get a Discmania one.
Why can't they just man up and do another one?
Yeah, they just don't. Because there's one for Latitude, isn't there? Latitude do a disc box sometimes.
Sometimes.
It's because they're too good.
It's just because they're too
Everything
good.
Everything it ever makes is great, and they don't...
I'm not going to lie. I want a Polecat in Halo Destroyer now.
I would buy a Latitude one. If I'm buying Latitude,
it'd be full of Beatles. And you'd be like, well, the shit am I going to do with all of these?
Yeah.
This is a shit load of Beatles.
And if I'm buying Latitude, I want to buy premium Latitude.
Fair. But we all know...
If I had the money, it'd all be first run.
Since bashing on DX Plastic, we've all established that it's actually the fact that we were bad.
Yeah, I love DX Plastic. It just don't last that long.
But no. If you've got a DX Ape now,
yeah,
I guarantee it'd be fine. Right?
Oh, yeah.
It's only because we've banged the shit out of our first two discs.
Yeah.
But look at the state of Valkyrie. And I've read of Valkyrie well.
Yeah, fair.
The dude, you take one hit and...
The leopard's got no marks on it.
Yeah, but the leopard's a very unique disc.
And also, you throw it and it goes into trees. Dan keeps making the joke of, like, that disc loves to live in that tree. Or just trees in general.
I don't know why...
Because it flies and goes up. It's mad, that disc. It's just so light.
What else have I got? I don't know. I can't fucking remember.
And on that note, guys, that has been an episode 14. Hopefully you guys have enjoyed it. If you have, please leave a like. A like is much appreciated. Subscribe to the channel. Subscribe to our Discheads YouTube channel. All the links are on the screen right now. If you're on Podbean and listening to us, leave us a like. Thanks for the download and thanks for the listen. And yeah, we'll see you in a couple of weeks' time for episode 15. To be like titled and all that stuff. But yeah, we'll see you in the not too distant future for more amateur fun news and disc things, because I believe you're going to possibly be Benny Threeburgs by the next time we see you. Fingers crossed.
Probably.
All right. Take it easy, guys.